today we're beginning here with the two dots on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Mar here is discussing the latter half of the Mishnah, where we have a machloket between the Tanaim there as to what qualifies as a nichnas. And when you enter into the Echal, that will cause a problem when people sell the Korban. And over there we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that said, k'nichnas l'chaper. If you go into the kapara, afal pi shelo kiper, even though you were not successful, pasul. And Rabbi Shimon who said, ad she'chaper. Only if you actually do accomplish kapara there, meaning that you do something actively inside of the Echal, does it create a psul? Now, with regards to that, the Gemara wants to understand what is the background, or what is the driving force between the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon. Nechnas lechaper, Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer omer, Nemar kan, it says over here, lechaper bakodesh, v'nemar lahalan, and it also says further on, this is in Parshat Achrimot, with regards to the avudat yom ha-kippurim, kol adam lo yeh ba'ohel moed, v'vo'o lechaper bakodesh. So the references to the pasuk that we've been discussing until now in Vayikra Vav, pasuk Chav Gimel, Chol Chatat, Asher Yuva Midamal Omoed, Lechaper Bakodesh, Lo Te'achel, Ba'esh Tisareth. So there it's Lechaper Bakodesh. So we want to try to define is what does it mean when you say Lechaper Bakodesh? So Rabbi Eliezer says you have to look at another paradigm of Lechaper Bakodesh, and that's by the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim in Perek Tetzayin Pasuk Yud Zayin, where the Torah tells us, V'chol Adam, Lo Yeh Bo'o Moed, Bivo'o Lechaper Bakodesh, Ad Tzeito, V'chiper Ba'do, U'bad Beito, U'bad Kol Kal Yisrael. There's a requirement that all the Kohanim exit the area where the Kohen Gadol is going to go and enter and do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. That means when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Echal has to be emptied of any person. There may not be any Kohanim or anyone inside of the Echal at that time. In that pasuk, it says lechaper bakodesh, which is similar to the lechaper bakodesh that we have in Vayikra Vav. And from that, we're going to learn malahalan bishalo kiper, avkan bishalo kiper. Just like over there, when the demand for you to leave that area is not when he's actively engaged in the kapara, but even when he enters into that area, there is a requirement that everybody evacuate, leave that area. The pasuk says bivo'o lechaper bakodesh when he's coming in to the area to do the kapara, not when he's doing the kapara, but entering the area, everybody has to vacate the area. So to over here, the chaper bakodesh to make the dam pasul is as soon as it enters, when it goes in there with the intent of kapara, you don't actually need the kapara to take place in order for that to be true. And that's the source for Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Bishimon Omer, Nemar Khan, once again, the pasuk in Vayikra Vav, pasuk Chav Gimel, lechaper. He also brings it from the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, but from a pasuk further on, in pasuk Chav Zayin, with regards to the Par V'Sayir Sheyom HaKippurim, where it says, V'et Par HaChatat, V'et Zayir HaChatat, Ashe Huva Et Damam Lechaper BaKodesh, whose blood was brought into the Heichal, to the Kodesh, to provide Kapara, Yutzio Michutz Tamachane, they'd be taken out. This is the Srefa part of the carcasses of the Par V'Sayir Sheyom HaKippurim. They'll be taken outside the machane, v'sarfu ba'esh et orotam v'et v'saram v'et pirsham. That all gets burnt. So there, when you say lechaper in that pasuk, in the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, lechaper bakodesh, again, the same terminology that's used in Vayikra Vav, pasuk Chav Gimel, there it literally means lechaper bakodesh. That's post the Avodat Adam that was done inside of the Heichal. So that literally means kapara. So malahalan kishikiper. That's the definition of lechaper bakodesh in Achrimot in this pasuk. Avkan in Vayikra Vav in Parshat Tzav, the lechaper bakodesh will be defined b'shikiper. When you attained kapara or you did some form of avodah there, that is what causes the dam to generate either b'tzachatara chitzona a psul, or for parim nisafrim and sfrim nisafrim, that generates the demand that they be burnt. By my kemiflege, on what underlies their machloket? They both bring good proofs to their position. Both psukim that they quote use the terminology lechaper bakodesh. So really it's a question of precedence. How do you know to pick the pasuk yud zayin versus pasuk chav zayin? They both say lechaper bakodesh v'yom HaKippurim, and you can match that up with the lechaper bakodesh in Vayikra Vav. How do I know which one is a better fit? So mar savar danim chutz michutz vein danim chutz mibifnim. We deal with something that relates to outside of that area versus being done something that's outside that area from something that's inside that area. That is the chatara chitzuna that is brought bifnim. So there we're speaking about something about chutz. In addition, the pasuk yud zayin that says that everybody has to vacate the area, that's also speaking about michutz. The people have to stand outside the heichal, and the kohen gadol is entering from outside the heichal. So that's chutz, michutz. I would like that to be the better limud, rather than learning michutz about a chatara chitzuna from the par v'sarir of Yom Kippurim, whose dam is taken into the heichal. Mar zaber danim behema mi behema, ben danim behema mi adam. You're better off paralleling pasuk of Zion, where it's speaking about the dam of a behema that's been put on the mizbeach. Yes, it's chatot apimiyot. It's the par v'sarir of Yom Kippurim. Nevertheless, it's at least it's speaking about a korban, similar to the chaper bakodesh in Vayikra, which is speaking about an animal, about a korban, as opposed to pasuk yud Zion over here, where it's kol adam lo yeh b'ol mo'ei b'vo l'chaper b'kodesh ad seito, vacating the area and forcing everybody out. It's talking about human beings. It's not talking about a korban. So that's the machlok between them. What is the better fit in terms of the paradigm of the chaper b'kodesh? Is it a better fit to match up location, which means michutz michutz is better, or is it better to match up the object? Is it the behema behema better than behema adam? And that's the ikar machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, as to whether you need kapara in order to be pusel the korban chatat achitzuna, or is it simply sufficient that you enter that area with intent to do kapara, even though you never carry out anything with regards to the kapara. Right now we move on to Rabbi Yehuda, again who we read in the Mishnah, who says that if you entered bishugeg, then it is fine. Ha, the Gemara makes the diuk that we mezid pasul. This is actually the girsa that Rashi enters in over here. There is an alternate girsa, which Rashi obviously is coming to dispel, that does not have this deal, Hamezid Pasol, but rather goes straight into the Gemara. That means the Gemara's question is in Rabbi Yehuda's position in our Mishnah. When he goes in Bishogeg, what's his view? As opposed to the way we have it based on the Girsa of Rashi, which is Rabbi Yehuda says if you do it Bishogeg, it's kasher. Hamezid Pasol, the deal you make from that is if he went in intentionally, it would be Pasol. And then on that, this is the Gemara's question. Bishakiper, Oshabalokiper. In essence, does Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's position, or does he subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's position? So based on the Gersa that we have in our Gemara, that's a question about Mezid. When it fails, when you do it Bimezid, does he subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Shimon? What is the failure, or when does that failure take place? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, Mimashma Shinemar. The Pasuk says, we just quoted this in Achrimot, v'parachatat, v'tzi'irachatat, asheva et damam, l'chaper bakodesh, where their dam is brought, l'chaper bakodesh. Then subsequent pasuk there, in pasuk chavchad says, v'hasoreif otam yechabes bigadav, person who burns up these carcasses will have to then cleanse his clothing, v'chatze b'sero b'mayim, you have to go to the mikveh, v'achakein yavol ha-machaneh, and then he can return to the machaneh. So, ma tamalomar, v'hasoreif. Why do you need the word vasareif there? Why do you need that pasuk? Mar says, matam adomar. What do you mean? Why do you need it there? You need a vasareif gufe itzrich. You need it to tell you what the din of the person who burns these items is. That's not an extraneous word. That's not an unnecessary word. Ela matam adomar chatat chatat. The question is with regards to the duplication of the word chatat in pasuk chavzayin. Jed says it para chatat ve'et seir ha-chatat. The pasuk could have just read ve'et par v'seir ha-chatat. You only need one chatat to modify both the par and seir. Why do you have a chatat that modifies the par? And why do you have a chatat that also modifies the seir? The fi, shlola manu elapar seir so yom kippurim, shenisrafim abeit adoshin. We only know, with regards to the par seir yom kippurim, that there's a requirement, yotzi yom ichutz lamachaneh, v'sufu v'eish etorotam v'saram bet pirsham. These are chatot de primiyot, and the Torah here tells you explicitly that you take them ichutz lamachaneh, and then you burn them on the fire. So that is said over here by Parsi Yom Kippurim. And then it adds on the additional dimension, which is in the next pasuk, which is a sereif. The one who does this sereifa, mitamim bigadim. Shar nisrafim minayin. How do I know the same is true of other chatot hapnimiyot? Now with regards to other chatot hapnimiyot, you can see as Rashi notes, and Bali Tosfot quote that, which is perisha kutris kedei naspo. Srafima beit adoshin, the fact that they're burnt in the beit adoshin, that's not unique to the par sayir shel yom kippurim, because that is written by the par helum dover shel tzibur. As Tosafot points out, that's what Rashi quotes. It's not true. It's written by the par kohen mashiach, not by the par helum dover shel tzibur. Be that as it may, we do have other chatot pnimiyot where it's clear that you have to be sureif ba'esh michutz l'machaneh. That's not unique to the par sayir shel yom kippurim. So what Rashi notes is kedei naspo. That's just brought as a sidebar over here, because that's not sourced out of the Pesukim by Parsha Yerushalmi Kippurim. It happens to be true, it's just not sourced from here. The unique aspect of the Parsha Yerushalmi Kippurim is the fact that Surei Futam Yechabes Begadav. That's the unique aspect, and the Gemara is asking, how do I know to apply that to a broader set of korbanot? All chatot apnimiot will be subject to this din. Tamalomar chatat chatat divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says it comes from the duplication of the word chatat. That duplication teaches you that it's broader in its applicability beyond just the parsa yirshom kipurim. It applies to all chatot apnimiot. Rav Meir omer enu tzarich. You don't need the pasuk chatat chatat. Harei omer. It says in the pasuk, "V'parachatat v'sirachatat she'en tom lomar lechaper." Why does the pasuk then continue and say lechaper bakodesh? Ma tom lomar lechaper? Why you have to tell me it's a kapara? That's all we've been doing until now is kapara. So why are they called the parachatat sirachatat? It's already post all the avoda that's been done with them. Asher uvam etamam lechaper bakodesh. Why you have to tell me about lechaper bakodesh? Limeid akol mitchaperim shosufam mitabei migadim. That comes to teach you that anything that provides kapara, which is true of all the chatot apnimiyot, then the person who has sureifed them is mitamei begadim. So that is Rabbi Meir, source. V'Rabbi Yehuda, lechaper lo mashmalei. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word lechaper doesn't give you that limud. The Gemara says, my daima, why is it that that does not give him that limud? It seems like a very good limud. It seems like it's extraneous. It seems like he has a good basis for his position. So why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to that position of Rabbi Meir? Lav mishum de mibayle le gzera shava. The answer must be because he uses it for the gzera shava. That's the gzera shava of Rabbi Shimon, who said that the source for the fact that the chaper bakodesh is only applicable when it's actual kapara came from the gzera shava of a chaper bakodesh that's written in Vayikra Vav Pasuk Chav Gimel, and the Chaper Bakodesh, it's written in this Pasuk, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin, in Achrei Mot, that it says the Chaper Bakodesh, and just like Par and Seir of Yom Kippurim is the Big Kapara, so too over there, it's only Big Kapara that the Chatad Et Chitzona becomes Psula. So what you see from here is that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the position of Rabbi Shimon. Because he subscribes to the position of Rabbi Shimon, he does not have the words, the Chaper Bakodesh, extraneous or available for Limud, and that's why he can't learn like Rabbi Meir, and has to come up with a different way to expand the din of Asareif Otam Yechabes Begadav applies not only to the part of Seir Shiyom Kippurim, but to all Chatot Apnimiyot. And that way we would say that Rabbi Yehuda is B'shitat Rabbi Shimon, or agrees to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, with that we complete the 8th Perek. Adron Allah, Kol Zvachim, Shinitarvu. And now we move on to the 9th Perek, which is about the power of the Mizbeach, something that we discussed earlier, which is the concept, Imalu Lo Yerdu. That if something ends up on the Mizbeach, we don't take it back down. Now there are limitations to that, and that's what the Mishnah begins to lay out, and then the subsequent Mishnayot in the Perek will give us more detail with regards to that. Mishnah begins with a general statement, which is, HaMizbeach Mikadesh Et HaRa'ui Lo. Mizbeach sanctifies things that are appropriate for it. So obviously that's a loaded term. What does it mean that are appropriate for it? And that's going to be the Machloket Tanaim coming up. You can see that in Rashi, you can see that in the Balei Tosafot. They both agree that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, upcoming in the Mishnah, are trying to define this term, ha-ra'ui lo. What is considered to be ra'ui for the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Yeshua omer, kol ha-ra'ui li'ishim. Anything that belongs on the fire, if it ends up on the Mizbeach, it's mikudash. Imala, if it goes on, lo yereit, you won't take it down. Shinemar, because he quotes the pasuk, by the Trumat Adeshin, tzavet aron vetbanav demor, zot terat ha'ula, hi ha'ula al mukta. So he learns that from he ha ola. It is the ola al mokda on the pyre. Ma ola shehiru uyalishim. Just like the ola over here goes on the moked on the pyre, and it's ra'uili ishim imalta lo tereid. If it goes up on the mizbeach, you don't bring it back down. Av kosher uili ishim. So too, anything that is ra'ui for the pyre imala. If it ends up there, lo yereid, it doesn't come back down. So he has a view that only things that are ra'ui for the pyre are items that if they get up there by accident, they were not supposed to, but they got there anyway, we won't take them down once they're there. Rabban Gamliel omer, kol ra'ui l'mizbeach. Anything that's ra'ui for the mizbeach, im ala lo yereid. If it ends up on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. Shenemar, he's quoting the same pasuk, hi ola al mukda al mizbeach. Ma ola shehiru iyal mizbeach. Again, his focus is on al mizbeach. The pasuk has hi ola al mukta al mizbeach. So the question is, with the Ola, what is more pronounced or what is more important? Is it Al-Mukta or is it Al-Mizbeach? Rabbi Yeshua says we're going to focus on Al-Mukta. And therefore, Mukeid or Ishim, the fire itself, is what determines if it goes on the Mizbeach. And if it belonged in the fire, then it will remain on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Gamliel focuses on Al-Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach. Anything that is Ro'uya the Mizbeach, Imalta, Lo Tereit. By the Ola, if it was Ro'uya the Mizbeach, if it goes on, it doesn't come back down. Anything that would have ended up in the Mizbeach, or should have ended up in the Mizbeach, had it not been for some problem that existed, or came about, imalta lo tereit. If it ends up in the Mizbeach, we're not going to take it down. Ein ben divrei Rabban Gamliel to divrei Rabbi Yeshua. You want to know what the nafka mina between their positions is, el adam ben nisachim. Dam and nisachim are the difference, because nisachim, the libations, end up on the Mizbeach, but they do not end up in the pyre or the fire that's there. And similarly, the dam is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, but it doesn't go onto the fire. So those are the nafkamino between them. Dam and nisachim. Dam and nisachim. Do you say, imalu lo yerdu? If they go up, they don't come down. That is the view of Rabban Gamliel, who says anything that touches the Mizbeach and is ra'oi the Mizbeach, once it's up, it doesn't come back down. On the other hand, for Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it's tied to the Ishim, the libations don't end up on the fire. The dam doesn't end up on the fire. Therefore, these items would be excluded from the din of a Mizbeach Mikadesh, that the Mizbeach is successful being Mikadesh items to the point that it does not get taken down. And the Mishnah explains that. Shum Leomer, lo yerdu. They don't come back down because they ra'ui the Mizbeach. They're supposed to be on the Mizbeach. If they end up there, lo yerdu. Yeshua Meir, yerdu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua believes that they are taken off the Mizbeach, because only things that belong on the fire that end up on the Mizbeach are Mikudash. But if it's not something that normally goes on the fire, even though it goes on the Mizbeach, that's not enough to have imalu lo yerdu. Now, underlying the machlok between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel is an unspoken fact, which is really the opening of this Mishnah, which is a Mizbeach Mikadesh et ra'ui lo. That the Mizbeach is successful at being Mikadesh, things that belong on it, to the point that imalu lo yerdu, that if they go on the Mizbeach, they don't come off. What is the source for that? Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel only brought a source for what is considered to be ra'ui lo, but they never brought what's the source for. How do you know that something that is ra'ui the Mizbeach or ra'ui the Yishim, that it must stay on the Mizbeach? Once it's on there, it doesn't come back down. So that turns out to be a machloket Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot. Rashi says over here, he aula al-mukta, he behavyatan yehe. They will be or remain in their kedusha, velo yered, and therefore they should not come down. He, the word he, mashma, behavyato tehe mishalta al-mukta. Once it ends up on the pyre, it remains in that kedusha. That kedusha is not stripped of it. So Rashi says that the source for this is he ola mokda, but the focus on the word he. The he means that something that has a kedusha associated with it, once it ends up on the moked, on the mizbeach, on the pyre, it remains in that form of kedusha, it remains on the mizbeach. So that's the source according to Rashi. If you look at the Balei HaTosafot, he quotes Rashi. He says Vekasho. Says that doesn't make sense. The Gemara mashma tehi miyutahi velo ribuya. The word he is an exclusionary term, not an inclusionary term. Ela Tana azot Torat haula samich. The Tana is relying on the words before that in the pasuk, which is Tzavet Aron ve Banav Lemor zot Torat haula. And the Torat haula is Torah achat lechol haolim. There's one Torah for anything that goes up onto the Mizbeach, irrespective of whether it's kasher or not kasher, as long as it ends up in the Mizbeach, Torah achat. One Torah for them, which means they remain on the Mizbeach, they stay on the Mizbeach, and you don't take them off. So there's a machloket between Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot as to the source for the fact that once it ends up on the Mizbeach, you don't take it off. Imalta lo tereit. And then within that, we have a machloket about what is considered to be ra'ui in the Mizbeach. We have Rabbi Yeshua who says, Kol ra'ui li'ishim, only things that are ra'ui for the fire. Rabbi Gamliel who says, anything that is ra'ui le'mizbeach doesn't come off. And now we have Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hazevach kasher unisachim psulim. If you have a situation in which the korban is kasher, but the nisachim, the libations that come along with it, are psulim. Or, hanichasim kasherim v'zevach pasul. The nisachim, the libations are totally fine. But the zevach, the korban, failed. It was pasul in some way. Afilo zev zepsulim. or even an instance where both of them are pasul, the korban and the nitzachim, hazevach lo yered, v'nitzachim yerdu. Zevach doesn't come off the mizbeach. That's true according to both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel, because it's something that goes on the pyre. It's something that goes on the mizbeach. So the zevach that goes on the pyre goes on the mizbeach. You don't take it off. On the other hand, the nitzachim, which are the wine libations, they go on the mizbeach, but they do not go on the ishim. They do not go on the pyre. So then, according to Rabbi Yeshua, then they would come off the mizbeach. According to Rabban Gamliel, they wouldn't come off the mizbeach, because according to Rabban Gamliel, it goes on the mizbeach, and so therefore it qualifies him Allah lo tered. On the other hand, for Rabbi Yeshua, since it doesn't go on the pyre, if it goes up, it comes off. So seemingly, what is being said here by Rabbi Shimon is, when a nesach is connected to a korban, then if it goes up improperly, it must come off. On the other hand, if it's a nesach that's independent of a zevach, over there, there'd be no requirement to take it back down. Imala, lo tered in that instance. So therefore, you would have to then subscribe to Rabban Gamliel's position with regards to that. Now, Bali Tosfot point out over here, when the Mishnah says that it's the zevach is pasul and the nisachim are ksherim, that's impossible. Because nisachim libations that come with a korban, if the korban is pasul, the nisachim libations are also disqualified. But that does what say, it means that they're not that they're not disqualified. It means that they don't have an inherent disqualification. The disqualification over there is because of the zevach. They themselves are ksherim. Just the failure is that the zevach failed. So that's why it's called pasul and kasher, even though technically the nisachim are not really ksherim, because they failed when the korban failed. Mara says, ra'ui lo in. Things that are ra'ui in the mizbeach, stay on the mizbeach. Shein ra'ui lo, lo. Things that do not belong on the mizbeach, do not stay on the mizbeach. Limi'ute mai. What is that coming to exclude? Meaning, ra'ui means something that is appropriate for the mizbeach, and that means that there are things that are not appropriate for the mizbeach. What is that distinction? What is considered to be ra'oi? And what is considered to be she'enu ra'oi? As the Bali Tosfot point out over here, it's clear that the Gemara is not looking for that answer because it's in the upcoming Mishnayot. I could have told you that there are things coming up in the Mishnayot, as Bali Tosfot point out, im lemute ketoret, if it is coming to exclude a ketoret, or roveya, v'nirba, certain things that don't belong in the Zbeach, those are all explicit in the upcoming Mishnayot. So the Gemara knows that. And what the Gemara is saying is, what is the miut out of this general statement in our Mishnah, the heading statement? What is it coming to Mima'eit that is not mentioned in the upcoming Mishnayot? And that is, Amar Papa, Limi'utei K'matzim Shelo Kidshu Bikli. It's going to exclude a case where Kometz was taken off of the Mincha and was not placed into a Kli Sharet. A Mincha that's brought to the Mikdash has to be placed into a Kli Sharet. But that Kli Sharet is not Mikadesh the Kometz, it's only Mikadesh the Mincha as a whole. Afterwards, the Kohen comes and takes a portion of that mincha as a kometz and takes it off. That kometz is going to go on the mizbeach. The remainder that's left behind in the Kli Sharet is going to be eaten by the Kohanim. So that portion that is taken off, that kometz, then has to be placed into a Kli Sharet. If it's placed in a Kli Sharet, then it's bimgrav al mizbeach. If you fail to put it into the Kli Sharet, then that is something that does not go on the mizbeach. And that is because is Rashi notes in the Mishnah on the words ra'ui lo, he says, shemishihuvrar lechelko. When it's been delineated, distinguished, designated for the mizbeach. That only happens when the kometz is placed into the Kli Sharet. That's what designates it for the mizbeach. That's what separates it out, particularly for the mizbeach. Until that point in time, it's just a piece of the mincha that was in the Kli Sharet that was connected to the shayirim that were going to be eaten by the Kohanim. It doesn't take on a unique status that is designated to end up in the Mizbeach. You can see that in the Shita Mikubetz at Od Aleph. He says, Mikol makom, achar shuhuvrar chelik ha'ishim, after you separate out the piece that's going on the Mizbeach, on the fire, on the pyre, that's the kometz, then lo nitkatsha, it was never sanctified. Dota k'dusha shaya b'bisa, the k'dusha from the original Kli Sharet, that was mixed together with the portion that belonged to the Kohanim. That's why the Tana of our Mishnah says it's not ra'ui the Mizbeach because of that, because it's really mixed together with something that is not belonging on the Mizbeach. That takes away this concept of huvrar the Mizbeach. Since it was not sanctified after being delineated and separated out to be for the Mizbeach, Af Agav Din Katsha Kolin Lechein, even though it was already sanctified and was already in a Kli Sharet, lo, it doesn't work in that case. That's how the Shita Mikubetzet explains it, and therefore it cannot end up on the Mizbeach, and that's the Miut here. If the Kometz is placed on the Mizbeach without ever being placed into a Kli Sharet, it's taken off the Mizbeach because it is not Ra'ui Lo. It is not appropriate for the Mizbeach. Then both the Shita Mikubetzet and the Baal Tosafot are trying to deal with a very difficult issue, which is this issue, whether it has to go into a Kli Sharet or not, is a Machloket in the Gemara Menachot, and Rabbi Shimon is the author of the position that it does not need to go into Kli Sharet. And that would seem to indicate that our Mishnah does not follow the position of Rabbi Shimon. Tosafot says over here, L'chora afilu aliba de Rabbi Shimon koi. Sounds like from the Gemara here, this is even according to that Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which is very hard to understand. And he says later on in the Baal Tosafot, V'hikshe Rabbeinu Chaim, Dashmein on the Rabbi Shimon, we know according to Rabbi Shimon, the Kometz lo bai kiddush kli. That a Kometz does not require kiddush b'kli sharet. Tzarech lomar, al korchin de hocha, alibi de rabbona nokat, de bo Kometz kiddush kli. You have to say that it's not according to Rabbi Shimon, but according to the rabbona that argue on Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, it cannot be really according to Rabbi Shimon. You can see that in Ot Aleph Neshita Mikubetzet, where he says this Mishnah is clearly not like Rabbi Shimon. But then the Rabbeinu Chaim offers an explanation as to how Rabbi Shimon can fit into this Mishnah and explain what is Enu Ra'oi Lo, Ole Rabbi Shimon Mishkachat La. Truthfully, we could have Rabbi Shimon fit in or have a mute over here. She'en Ra'oi Lo Kagon Livona Kodem K'mitzat HaSolet. The mincha is made up of the flour, water, oil, that is the core of the mincha. In addition to that, there is lovona, frankincense, that is placed on the mincha. After you do the kmitzat ha-mincha, you take off the kmitzat and put it into a klisharet, at that point you also take the lovona off the top of the mincha, and the komets and the lovona are put onto the mizbeach. But there is a sequence to that. That sequence is, first you have to do a kmitzat, then only afterwards take the levona and place it on the mizbeach. What happens if the person jumped the gun and put the levona on the mizbeach before there is a kmitza? That is problematic. And imalu, if the levona went on the mizbeach, yerdu, they'll be taken off because they were not ra'ui the mizbeach. They only become ra'ui the mizbeach after the kmitza. So that'll be the answer. What is Rabbi Shimon talking about or speaking about, which is not ra'ui lo? It's made out of mincha, but he's speaking about the levona of the mincha, not the komets of the mincha. By the komets, he doesn't need to go in a kli sharet. But the levona does have a prerequisite, and that is that the komets be taken off before the levona is placed on the mizbeach. Shalavona niteret b'kmitzat asolet. Because that which is matir, the levona, to go on the mizbeach, is the kmitzat asolet. But if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet Ot Bet, he brings that down, and he says, v'lo nira the mori. Thinks that my Rebbe thinks that that's not the correct explanation over here. And then he brings alternative explanations, which are pretty dochak. And then he says something incredible, but od yesh samar, ad dayik tamud ra'oi lo in ha ein ra'oi lo, ze eino aliba de Rabbi Shimon. The fact that the Gemara makes it diuk, that only things that are ra'oi is the mizbeach mikadesh, and otherwise not, that's not according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Ve Rabbi Shimon savar, afagav do ein ra'oi the mizbeach. Even it's not ra'oi the mizbeach, mikadesham. The Mizbeach is Mekadesh Utam, Beteida. He says, you can prove that from the fact that Rabbi Shimon never puts any qualification in his position in the Mishnah. That all he says over there is anything like an Olah, which is Biglal Atzma, that comes of its own, and not with something else, then it goes on the Mizbeach. But he doesn't qualify with any limitation to that, and seemingly Rabbi Shimon is not bound by this idea of Ra'ui Lo. No, according to both the Baal Tosafot and the Shita Mikubetzet, Rabbi Shimon is definitely not able to fit into Rav Papa's explanation over here. Either we have to give an alternative explanation as to what the Eino Ra'ui Lo is for him, which the Rabbeinu Chaim suggests, or you have to subscribe to what the Shita Mikubetzet says over here, which is Rabbi Shimon doesn't have this qualification of Ra'ui Lo. And he goes against all the other Tanaim that say Ra'ui Lo, and he says even if it's Eino Ra'ui Lo, the Mizbeach is Mekadeshit, which would be a very big Chiddush. And now the Gemara continues. Matkif La Ravina, Maishna Midu'ula. Why is the Mitzata mincha, before it goes into Kli Sharet, any different than the case of Ula? Da'amar Ula, Emurei Kodshim Kalin, She'elan Lifnei Zrikat Daman, Lo Yerdu. They're put on Mizbeach before there was a Zrikat Adam, you don't take them off. Nasu lachmo shel mizbeach. They become the lechem of the mizbeach, which is the terminology that is used by lechem yisheh reach nichoach l'Hashem. That the lechem is a description of those items that are being consumed by the mizbeach. That's why if the emurim end up on there, they become a part of the eating of the mizbeach and are not released. As opposed to by kodshei kodoshim, whereby the animal is already has an inherent kedusha even before the zrikat adam. That's why it's called kodshei kodoshim. It has a kedusha associated with it, and those items of the korban that are going to the mizbeach are ready mikudash even before the zrikat adam is done. These are items that you can have me'ila with. These are items that are supposed to get up to the mizbeach, and therefore the kedusha is there from the outset. On the other hand, by kodshim kalim, that is not true. Kodshim kalim are kodshim kalim because they don't have that inherent kedusha associated with them. It is the zrikat adam that triggers the kedusha. The kodshim kalim are eaten by the balim, by the kohanim, but there's a portion of the kodshim kalim that go on the mizbeach, and those are the emurim, the fats and the innards of the kodshim kalim, they go on the mizbeach. But the innards or the emurim only become kadosh to go on the mizbeach, or only mutar to go on the mizbeach, after the zrikat adam of the kodshim kalim. So without that trigger of the zrikat adam, the emurim don't belong on the mizbeach. Despite that fact, Ula says, if the emurim are placed on the mizbeach before the zrikat adam, you don't take them off. That sounds exactly like a case of a kamitza without being placed into a kli sharet. You jump the gun. You put something on the mizbeach that didn't belong on the mizbeach, that would in the future have belonged on the mizbeach. Emurim of kodshim kalim don't belong on the mizbeach right now. In the future, when you do the zrikat adam, then they will belong on the mizbeach. And so therefore, if you went preemptively and you put them there, they stay and we don't take them off. So same thing by the komets over here. Why don't you say that the komets did belong in a kli sharet, and had it gone in a kli sharet, it would have ended up on the mizbeach. So now when you put on the mizbeach prematurely, it should stay on the mizbeach and not come down. That's the question that Ravina is posing to Rav Papa. Gemara says there's a big difference between the cases. Hanach lo michsuru ma'aseh b'gufayu. Hanu michsuru ma'aseh b'gufayu. Difference of whether there's a chisaron in the item itself, or it's an exogenous trigger. By the case of the emurim are ready to go on the mizbeach. There's nothing that's me'akev the emurim getting on the mizbeach, with the exception of the zrikat adam. But the zrikat adam is an exogenous item that once it's done will trigger the ability for the emurim to go on the mizbeach. That's not true by the kmitza. Failure in the kmitza is a failure in the kmitza itself. You didn't put the kmitza into a kli sharet. Since you didn't put it into a kli sharet, it's not kadosh, and that's why it shouldn't end up on the mizbeach. So that's the difference between them, and the truth is that the difference is even more fundamental, which is that by the emurim, that of the kodshim kalim that are on the mizbeach, once you do the zrikat adam in the future, they do belong on the mizbeach, and you will do the zrikat adam. On the other hand, by the kmitza, once it goes on the mizbeach, there's no turning that back and trying to put it into kli sharet. There's no do-over there. There's no way to rectify the situation. And so for those reasons, the din of Ula is true by kodshim kalim, the emurim of kodshim kalim, but is not relevant to the case of kmitza, because there are different issues in these cases that separate the din. And you could say that a kmitza fails, and it's not coincident to be ra'oi, whereas the emurim, the kodshim kalim that were preemptively, prematurely put on the mizbeach, or imalu, lo yerdu. Right now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, kol ha-ra'oi li'ishim. Now the Gemara wants to know, we have the pasuk that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel argue about, but the pasuk has both terms in it. It's not that it has one and not the other. Each have to deal with the other person's source. It says, hi ola al-mukda al-mizbeach. So you have Al-Mukta and Al-Mizbeach. Which one is the focus? It was drives their shitot, but the other word is also there, and what do they do with that limud? So Rabbi Gamliel, Nami Aktif, Ola Al-Mukta. Rabbi Gamliel learns it from Al-Mizbeach. What does he do with Al-Mukta? Ha'ulaudure Pukin Huda'ata. That comes to teach you that things that were on the Mizbeach, Korsher Korbanot, Evarim, that were on the Mizbeach, that popped off the Mizbeach, and they were shut off either by the heat or they slid off the mizbeach. How do I know that when they're pokea, you put them back on? That is al-mokda. You have to keep it on the pyre. So the ola, once it goes on, needs to be al-mokda. And if it's released or it goes away from the mokade, you have to return it to the mokade. Ve'idach, adure pokim minole. Rabbi Yeshua, who uses the word al-mokda to teach us what is the definition of ra'oilo, has he know that Ivarim that pop off the Mizbeach should be returned to Mizbeach? Naftgale Mesher Tuchal Ha'esh. He learns it out from the subsequent Pasuk, which is the next Pasuk says, Lavasha Kuein Midobad, ומכנסי בר יבש על בשרו, והרים את הדשן אשר תאכל האש את העולה על המזבח ושמו את המזבח. So the אשר תאכל האש teaches you that which the ash has consumed belongs to the ash now. So that which comes off the ash has to be refed to the ash, or that which the ash already has grabbed belongs to the ash, and you need to continue to place it in the ash in order for it to be consumed. Ve'idach, Reza Ben Gamliel, do what Asher tochal ha'ash, v'bayilei, it comes to teach you, le'ikulei ola, ata machzir, v'ata machzir, ikulei ketoret. Things that have been consumed from an ola, meaning the evarim of an ola, that are on the pyre, if they pop off, you have to return them to the pyre. Ketoret, on the other hand, if it falls off the mizbeach, you don't replace it on the mizbeach. Now, a ketoret does not go on the mizbeach chitzon, it only goes on the mizbeach ha'pnimi. So the distinction that he's drawing is basically things that are on the mizbeach chitzon, if they pop off, you return them. Things on the mizbeach zahav, if they come off, you do not return them to the mizbeach zahav. Titani, Rabbi Chanina bar Nyume, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, אשר תאכל האש את העולה על המזבח. עיקולי עולה אתה מחזיר, ואתה מחזיר עיקולי קטורת. ואידך, where's Rabbi Yoshua going to learn that from? לב ממעלה שממינה דעיקולי עולה מהדרינה. He says that you don't need a specific limud for that. It is a derivative of the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Because the context of the pasuk is being met in Ula and the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And so by definition, you wouldn't apply this to the Mizbeach HaZahav or to Ketoret. V'Rabbi Yeshua Nami Aktiv Mizbeach. It's now in the opposite direction. Rabbi Gamliel's source is from Hiola Magda Al HaMizbeach. What does Rabbi Yeshua do with Al HaMizbeach? HaMibayile, he needs it for Maika Marachmano. What is the Torah saying? Kol HaRo'oi LaMukta Mikadesh Mizbeach. That anything that is ra'oi for the mokeid, for the pyre, is mikudash by the mizbeach. So the ala mizbeach is telling you what does it. So ala mokda tells you things that are ra'oi the yishim, ala mizbeach, the mizbeach itself is mikadesh. So the pasuk is telling you both the item that creates the kedusha, as well as the qualification to gain that kedusha. Ala mokda is the qualification for being mikudash. The mizbeach is the object that is mikadesh, the items that go on it. And that's what the ala mizbeach is. Ve'idach, where does Rav Gamliel learn that from? That's an important factor, that the mizbeach is the mikadesh of here. He learns that mizbeach achrin aktiv. That is from the pasuk in Shmot Perchavtet, where it says, Shivat yamim techaper ala mizbeach. This is about the miluim in Parshat Tetzaveh. V'kidash to'oto, v'ya mizbeach kodesh kodeshim, kolenugea ba mizbeach yikdash. Anything that touches the mizbeach will be sanctified. Ve'idach, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with that? That seems to be a pretty obvious and explicit source for this. Chad eichad haita lashat hakosher, chad eichad lo haita lashat hakosher. They're coming to teach you two different dinim. One din is that the mizbeach's mikadesh items that were at one point ra'ui the mizbeach, and then something went wrong. So shat hakosher, things that had a shat hakosher, are things where they were done properly, and then something failed after the fact, like lina, which is after the fact. Yotze, after the fact. Tameh, after the fact. So after the dam was already done and the korban was already good, something happens to the korban or ivarim after the dam of the olah was put on that caused a problem. They were taken out of the azara. They were left overnight. They became tameh. That's something that had shat kosher and then went bad. Something happened that disqualified them. Or loay talashot kosher is a korban that was failing from the outset. It was never a kosher korban because you had the wrong machshava. You had a machshevet chutz zvano, machshevet chutz limkomo. So he says, you need to tell you that the Mizbeach is Mikadesh, both of those items. And that's why we have two psukim. One to tell you about things that were once kasher, and then disqualify. The other to tell you even things that never had a shata kosher, never were kasher. Nevertheless, if malu le'yerdu, that comes from the other pasuk. V'idach, what is Rabbi Gamliel going to do about that? How does he include both shata kosher and shalosh shata kosher? Kevin de besulin minu, v'rabinu rachmana. Both of these items are pasul. The Torah says they're included. Lo shna haita lo shata kosher, lo shna lo haita lo shata kosher. There's no reason to differentiate. The Torah is saying something that is pasul, if you put on the mizbeach, stays on the mizbeach. Where do you see any differentiation? It doesn't tell you what type of pasul. It doesn't tell you if you have shata kosher, not shata kosher. There's no such distinction that's ever made in the psukim. And therefore, it's captured by one time that it says, kol nugea b'mizbeach yikdash. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Azevach kasher. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola. Ma ola haba bichlal atzma. So the word ola, he ola al mugdal mizbeach. An ola comes because of itself. Afkol abayim bichlal atzmam. Anything comes because of itself, not because of something else. Yatzu nisachim abayim bichlal zevach. So excluded from that are libations that are coming as ancillary to the primary korban that is brought. They are not subject to this din imalu lo yerdu. Rabbi Yossi Galili Omer, Mitoch Shneamar, Pasuk says, Kol Nogea Mizbeach Hikdash, that's that Pasuk in Shmot Perichav Tet, Shumei Ani Ben Ra'oi, Ben Shein Ra'oi. Sounds like anything that ends up in the Mizbeach, it's Mekadesh, whether it's Ra'oi or not Ra'oi for the Mizbeach. Tamar Lomar, the subsequent Pasuk in Shmot Perichav Tet, that ends off a Parshia. The next Parshia is about the Korban HaTamid. Mitzah Asher Tassel Mizbeach, Kivasim b'nei shana, shnaim layom tamid. So the word kvasim appears in the subsequent pasuk. Ma kvasim ro'im, af kol ra'ui. So what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying is that the goyegeh al-mizbeach hikdash is qualified by the subsequent pasuk, which speaks about the korban tamid. I tell you, things that belong in the mizbeach is mikadesh. Things that don't belong in the mizbeach is not mikadesh. Rabbi Kiva omer, ola. Ma ola ri'uya, af kol ri'uya. He doesn't learn it out of the word kvasim. Rather from the word Ola. The Rashi over here says Ola is also in that subsequent Pasuk. The word Ola never appears in the Pasuk after that. The word Ola appears about five Pasukim later, at the end of that Parshia, which says Olat Tamid the Dorotechem. Petach Omoed Lifnei Hashem, Asher Yivayed Lachem Shema Ledaber Lech Hashem. So some believe that that's the Ola that we're referencing over here. The Rekiva says that the Ola at the end of that Parshia is qualifying calling again Mizbeach Hikdash. That's one way to read it. And you can see the way that the Gemaras are printed here, they quote the reference to Shmot Chavtet as the source for the word Ola. But there are others that believe that the word Ola that Rabbi Kiva is referencing to over here is not the Ola in Perek Chavtet, but rather the one from Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Bet, which is Hiya Ola Mukdal Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. That's the Ola that he's referencing to. And he's saying that Ola qualifies what things the Mizbeach is Mikadesh. Ma ula ruyav kol ruyav. Ma beinayu. What's a nafkamina? Whether you learn it from kvasim or you learn it from ola. Amar avada ba'ava, ola ta'ov psula ika beinayu. The nafkamina between them is a bird, ola, that was pasul for whatever reason that ended up on Mizbeach. Mar maiti la me ola, mar maiti la me kvasim. The one who brings it from kvasim, it's only behemot that are included in this din, because its kevis is the paradigmatic item that if it goes on his back, doesn't come off. That will not include an oaf. And then if you say ola means anything that is ola al mizbeach, ra'uy, the mizbeach, and ola to oaf is no different than a kevis or a behemat, ola, and therefore it went on the mizbeach, lo teirei. So that'll be the machlok between them as to whether ola to oaf is included under this din of imalu lo yerdu. Uleman de mighty lami kvasim, the one who learns from kvasim, meaning Rabbi Yossi Aglili, haktiv ola. What does he do with the word ola? Iktiv kvasim. Had I only had the word kvasim, veloktiv ola, and didn't have the word ola, havamina afilu mechayim. I would have thought that even if the problem arises while the animal is still alive, this is what is otherwise known as psulo she'enu bakodesh. It's a psul that came before it was in the kodesh, before the item was in the process of being worked on as a korban. So that psul, you would have thought, kvasim means any time. As long as it's kadosh, then anything that psul comes onto ends up in his back is fine. The Tosafot does limit this habamina to cases where it's dokin shba'ayin, according to Rabbi Kiva, small mumim that Rabbi Kiva believes that imalu lo yerdu, that would have been the habamina over here. This comes to undermine that habamina. What we need is psulo b'kodesh, Katav Rachmana Ola. That's why the Torah wrote the word Ola teaches you that the Ola limits it to when it is in Ola, not when it's still alive. To tell you that it's not Kvasim anytime. It's only Kvasim when they're already in the process of being made into an Ola. Lamanda Maiti La Me Ola, according to Rabbi Akiva, who learns it out from the word Ola, Haktiv Kvasim. What does he do with the word Kvasim there? Iktiv Ola, Veloktiv Kvasim. Had I just said the word Ola, not Kvasim, Havamina Afilo Mincha. I would have thought even a mincha, this is your question. Why isn't that also a nafkamina between them? That is because there's a limitation on the ola that Rabbi Kiva says. Kotokhmada kvasim, to teach you that it's only animal sacrifices that are included under this din. but menachot are not included under this din. Ma'ika ben hanei tanaei, lahanei tanaei de matnitin. What is the nafkamina between these tanaim here, Rabbi Yosef Glida and Rabbi Akiva, versus the tanaim of our Mishnah? You have here numerous tanaim saying that there's a qualification for what is ra'ui lo. So Rabbi Yosef Glida, Rabbi Akiva is saying it comes from the word kvasima, the word olah, and we have in our Mishnah the positions of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, who say it derives from hi'olal mokda or ala mizbeach. Is there a nafkamina between those limudim? Amar Papa, kimatzim shekidshu b'kli ika beinayu. If you successfully take off the komets and place it into a kli sharet, and then it goes pasul, something happened to it with yotze, lan, tamei, and then it ends up in the mizbeach, do you say imala lo teireid? That's the machlok between them. According to the Tanaim of our Mishnah, that's a case where if you put on this mizbeach, it doesn't come off. Because they said as an example of a case when it's enura oilo, that's a case where it's a komets that didn't end up in a kli sharet. But if it was a komets that ended up in a kli sharet, it would stay on the mizbeach. Because that is both ra'oi le yishim and ra'oi le mizbeach. And therefore, if it went on the mizbeach, it wouldn't come off even if it was pasul. According to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's not true. They say that the things that are qualified in mizbeach are either kvasim, which means beimot, or olot. Olot qualified by kvasim, which means that it's limited to korbanot of animals, or only korbanot of behemot. But either way, a mincha is excluded for them, and therefore if the mincha psula ended up on the mizbeach, it would come off the mizbeach and not stay on the mizbeach. And that's what the Gemara says. L'tzatanei didan lo yerdu, according to the tanaim of our Mishnah, it would not come off. L'tzatanei de matnita, according to the tanaim of the Braita, I mean Rabbi Yosef Glida and Rabbi Akiva, yerdu, they would come off. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish now is going to give a list of items, and he's going to say, everybody says this, but the exceptions are these Tanaim. Over here we have five Tanaim that are engaged over here. You have Rabbi Yeshua and Rabban Gamliel of our Mishnah, and then you have Rabbi Shimon at the tail end of our Mishnah, and the bright day of Rabbi Yosef Glida and Rabbi Akiva. So you have five Tanaim that gave opinions here as to what's called Ra'oi, and Reish Lakish is going to put up items where there's differences of opinions. First of all, for instance, Koshim Kalim, She'alan Lifnei Zrikat Adam, that ended up in his back before Zrikat Adam. Ula says that stays on the mizbeach. If it went up, it doesn't come off. And the Balei Tosafot say that this has broad application. Ula's din is the kuleyama. That means for that item, lo yerdu is according to kuleyama. All five of the Tanaim would agree to that din. Then let's move on to olata of, which we just discussed. With regards to olata of, we saw that it was a nafkamina between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if it was an olata of, it comes off the mizbeach because it's not kvasim. According to Rabbi Akiva, it stays on the mizbeach because it's an ola, and it stays on the mizbeach. For Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, it clearly stays on the mizbeach because that's something that belongs in the yishim, that's something that belongs in the mizbeach. So an olata of psula, according to everyone, stays on the mizbeach with the exception of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. A case of a komets that was lo nitkadesh b'kli. Of a komets that was not placed into a kli sharet. According to Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel, that is yerdu. It definitely comes off the mizbeach, because that's exactly what they said is the exception and not called ra'oi. That's what the Mishnah called lo ra'oi lo. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Kiva, of course it's coming off because it's a mincha. And they don't think minachot go on the mizbeach and stay on the mizbeach. The only question mark is Rabbi Shimon, and that's based on what we saw before in the Balei Tosafot and the Shita Mikol Betzet, whether Rabbi Shimon agrees to this din, even though in Masech Menachot he says you don't need Kiddush Kli. Do we say over here he agrees to this din? Or do we say that it's against his position? So that's the question. If it's a Libet Rabbi Shimon or not a Libet Rabbi Shimon. Now, Komets Shekidesh B'Kli. If you have a Komets that was put into a Kli Sharet. So we just said before, that's the nafkamina between the Tanaim of our Mishnah and the Tanaim of our Braita. Which is, according to the Tanaim of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, lo yerdu. Once it goes on, the Mizbeach, Komet, Shekidesh, B'Kli, it doesn't come off. According to Rabbi Yosef Glida, Rabbi Akiva, positions in the Braita, yerdu. Because they think Kvasim and Ola. Neither of those include a Mincha. Now we move on to Reish Lakish, who brings four other nafkaminot, or areas where you want to discover what are the differences of opinions. Amar Reish Lakish, mincha haba'a bifnei atzman. If you have a mincha that is brought of its own accord, it's not attached to anything else, it's an independent mincha that is being brought. Le'tivrei kulan lo tered. According to everyone, it does not come off the mizbeach. Le'tivrei Rabbi Yosef Glida, Rabbi Akiva, tered. So again, when he says tivrei kulan, it means everybody besides those that I mentioned. Dimikulan means all the authors of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, they all believe lo tered, you're not going to take it off the Mizbeach, because it's ra'oi the Yishim, it's ra'oi the Mizbeach, and it's ba'bifnei atzma. So all three of those make it that the Tanaim of our Mishnah believe if it goes up and it's pasul, does not come off. But Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, tered. Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are going to say it comes off. They don't think menachot are covered by this din, because they say kvasim and they say ola. Mincha haba'a im azevach. A mincha that comes with a zevach. The divrei Rabbi Gamliel v'Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, lo tered. It doesn't come off. According to divrei kulan, everyone else, tered. Now according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, it's tered because it's a mincha. And a mincha is not an item that is qualified to be on the mizbeach and to remain there. For Rabbi Shimon, that's the only change of opinion we have here, versus mincha ba bifnei atzma, mincha ba mi mizbeach, then it comes off because it's not ba'a bifnei atzma. It doesn't come of its own accord. It comes because of the zevach that it's attached to. Nisachim haba'im bifnei atzma. Libations that are brought of their own accord, meaning that you voluntarily bring a libation, not connected to a korban, but independent of a korban. The tivei kulan yerdu. According to everybody, it'll be taken off. The tivei rabban gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, lo yerdu. According to Rabbi Shimon and gamliel, it would not be taken off. For Rabbi Yeshua, it's going to be taken off, because Rabbi Yeshua says the only thing that's qualified is something that goes on the ishim, that goes on a fire. Libations don't go on the fire. So yerid. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, it's not kvasim, it's not olah. It's not something that if it goes on the mizbeach, doesn't come off. The only two who believe otherwise, first of all, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says if it's something that comes of its own accord, then it's kasher to stay on the mizbeach. Even if it was pasul, it remains on the mizbeach. Rabbi Gamliel says, kola olah le mizbeach. It doesn't have to be the ishim, it only has to be the mizbeach. So kola le mizbeach, lo yered, will not come off the mizbeach. So that's what he says. Rabbi Shimon say, lo yerdu. So now, nisachim habaim imazebach, Sachim libations that come with the zevach, the divrei kulam yerdu. According to everybody, it'll be taken off with one exception. The divrei Rabbi Gamliel, the chudei lo yerdu. Only according to Rabbi Gamliel doesn't come off. For Rabbi Yeshua, it's not something that goes on the yeshim. For Rabbi Shimon, it's not an independent item. For Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, it's not kvasim, it's not an olah. For Gamliel, who says anything that goes on the mizbeach, once on the mizbeach doesn't come off, then this qualifies to go on the mizbeach because it's a libation that would go on the mizbeach. Mai says, pshita. Everything Reish Lakish said is obvious. We could have done that. We could have figured that out ourselves. I don't need you to tell me that. So mincha ba bifnei atzma, it's trichalei. We need the fact that a mincha that is brought of its own accord, we needed that uke de rova. Dama rova, mitnadev adam minchat nisachim b'chol yom. So that it says that a mincha can be brought independently of your own accord. So it says, v'nashmeina uke de rova. Then why does Reish Lakish state it in this way? Just say, the halacha is like Rava. I mean, that's a little funny statement because Reish Lakish is older than Rava. So obviously they don't mean say that Rava is right. What they're saying is that he should have said the same statement that Rava made, which is that Nisachim can be brought independently. So my answer's up, no. Nisachim abayim azevach itztrichalei. The chiddush of Reish Lakish is a Nisachim that come along with the zevach. The kamikarev lehu lemachar ululoma a'uchra. Because we have a din, which we've mentioned a little bit earlier in the Masechta, we'll deal with it more explicitly later in the Masechta, which is when you bring the Sachim with the Korban, they do not need to be brought on the same day as the Korban. You can bring them Mikan Barasara Yamin. You can bring them today, you can bring them tomorrow, you can bring them in 10 days from now. So I would have thought that Nisachim that come along with the Zevach, if they're brought at the same time as the Zevach, that is a disqualifying event for Rabbi Shimon. But, Zalkadat Chamina, Hova Marmar, Minchatam niskeem balayla, minchatam niskeem the machar, so that the mincha and the nesach can be brought at night. They can be brought at a later date. Kinesachim abayim ifnei atzman damo, that they are like an independent nesach and not connected to the korban. Umodi Rabbi Shimon de lo yerdu, and Rabbi Shimon in that case would agree that you don't take them off the mizbech. Kamash malan, that even though these nesachim are brought at a different time than the zevach, they are still connected to the Zevach, and that's the Chiddush of Reish Lakish, something we would have not known otherwise, which is that if it's brought with the Zevach, even though it's brought independently at a different time than the Zevach, it's still connected to the Zevach, and that means if it goes Pasol, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it goes on the Mizbeach, it comes off and does not stay on the Mizbeach. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Pei Daled Amud Aleph.